This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming to you live for the Built Ford Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are in the free Odyssey app, good Tuesday morning. We have had a great run here of New York sports over the last month or so. Great runs, a lot of wins, a lot of fun. But it is coming crashing down. The Mets, of course, getting eliminated by the Dodgers was the first one. The Jets losing five in a row was next. And the Giants, of course, now in the midst of another nothing season. And the Yankees on the brink of elimination and on the brink of being swept by the Dodgers. Just frustrating, tough to watch. I mean, the Yankees cannot compete with good baseball teams if Aaron Judge can't hit. I mean, there's a lot of things that go on in these games, but that's really what the Yankees, since Aaron Judge has been the focal point of this team since 2017... If he doesn't hit like he doesn't hit in the postseason, they can't beat teams like the Astros, like the Red Sox that one year, like the Rays who were built better than them, and like the LA Dodgers in 2024. They can't keep up. And to watch them last night be completely just overwhelmed by Walker Buehler and the Dodgers pitching, when I thought they were going to score some runs last night, I really did. With the bullpen game coming up, I thought they'd get to Buehler, then Dave Roberts wasn't going to use his best arms in this game, and they would win. And they're just sitting there looking at fastball, looking at fastballs, looking at fastballs, looking at fastballs. I mean, just really, really frustrating, and I don't see how they win a game at this point. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Jay. So what this reminds me of, it reminds me of the 2015 World Series between the Mets and the Kansas City Royals, where the Kansas City Royals basically schooled the Mets. And we were Met fans. We sat there. We watched it. We were frustrated. We did get the Matt Harvey night, and then all of a sudden that blew up. But I just felt like the Royals, who had been to the World Series the year before, just had everything going right for them. They had good, solid pitching. They had timely hitting. They could play the field. They could play defense. They could do all the little things that are required to win games at this level. You know, we're not in the middle of July. We're not in the middle of August, where a three-game losing streak is not going to kill you, and you can come back from it and get hot again. You know, this is the World Series. This is it. This is what it all comes down to. And, you know, even though I was saying it tongue-in-cheek, there was something to be said about the Yankees getting here through a cakewalk, because those teams that they played, Kansas City and Cleveland, are not the Dodgers. The Dodgers are, and we saw it as Met fans, the Dodgers are a really well-put-together team. They do a lot of little things right. They know how to run the bases. I could start off by in a million different directions this morning. I could start off with the starting pitching. We could talk about Aaron Judge. We could talk about 11 strikeouts. We can talk about Luis Rojas sending a guy who they've told all year long, don't run. Don't run. Whatever you do, don't run. That's going to hurt you. And we're gonna ask him to go from second to home on a ball that's hit to left field. I mean, that to me, like, that's just a reflection of what this series is all about.
Yeah. So
bad decisions, bad ideas, bad plays in the field.
So when I watched this live, I was like, why are you sending him? He's lumbering. He can't move. The whole thing. And then I look back and I'm like, man, like, it did take a great throw. He had gotten to second base on the double, and he looked spry. The Yankees can't drive anybody in.
By the way, he almost got thrown out of second base.
Yeah, but he almost whatever. So with horseshoes and hand grenades, right? So he almost scored on that thing too. So I mean, I don't
I didn't have a problem him being sent in that situation after I thought about it.
I did 100%. The moment that it happened, I'm like,
because the Yankees get a lot of big hits, right? So let's leave a guy in third base with two outs. Saying,
like, you just don't want to make an out at home, and especially when you're in the middle of a
potential rally. You also don't want to leave a guy in third base with two outs.
Look, this is what's going on with the Yankees. They have their slowest guy standing on second base, and, you know, he gets thrown out at home. And I just got done telling you that I felt like this was the Royals versus the Mets back in 2015. They're making the defensive plays. The Yankees have not made the defensive plays. The Mets are the Yankees are striking out. The Dodgers aren't striking out. The Dodgers have gotten strong starting pitching. The Yankees in the last two games have gotten very little from their starting pitching. Too many walks. Too many, you know, starting innings with men on base for the Dodgers. And this is all with, and you can see Shohei Ohtani's not right. You can see it. We can all see it. I mean, you're just standing up there. He could barely swing the bat. And Clark Schmidt walks him on the first, you know, at bat of the game.
Four pitches.
Like, what are you doing?
Pitches.
Make him hit it.
That's exactly what I said. I was like, guys, you know, last time we saw this guy, his shoulder was popped out of the socket. So let's not throw him a strike.
Exactly. So I'm like, all of these little things add up to where the Yankees are right now. And I hate to say it, but I'm going to go back to game one. And it comes down to one pitch, and it changed the whole series. I don't know if the Yankees can get out of this. I really don't. I don't have the confidence that they can. I picked them to win in seven, and now it looks like they're getting steamrolled. Maybe they win tonight. Maybe that's the case. And by the way, tonight, I guess there was a chance that Gerrit Cole would pitch. He's not going to pitch.
Yeah, which is another, I'm confused. And maybe there's something that they're not telling us, but like analytics have taken over the game. We know that. The Dodgers do it well. The Dodgers also have as much talent as anybody in baseball. So I don't know if it's great analytics or great talent or a combination of both, whatever. But there's just certain guys that I just always, and I said the same thing yesterday about him coming out of the game. There's just certain guys that, at this point in the season, I'm expecting Gerrit Cole to just go for it. Like, completely, this is why I'm here. This is why I'm making all this money. This is why I have the pinstripes on. Okay, we're down 3-0, but hell, we're not going to go down with me on the mound. Give me the ball.
Yeah, well, the one thing I will say is that the Yankees are probably looking at the Dodgers going, okay, they got a bullpen game. So maybe we do have a little bit of, I will say the last two starting pitchers, Rodon and Schmidt, gave them nothing. Gave him nothing, just basically served up, you know, gopher balls and also walk guys. I mean, just afraid to throw strikes. And I understand that because the Dodgers are a hell of a team. They're balanced. They hit. They do the right thing. I mean, watching Freddie Freeman in the first inning go yard last night, I'm like, you got to be. That is just like insane.
No, I mean, yeah. So it's like so you've come to peace with the fact that you're down 2-0. You got three games at home. The Yankee fan that paid money through the nose to get into the building is finally going nuts and cheering and there. And listen, we win this game. Walker Buehler stinks, and we get a bullpen game. We can get this thing 2-2. Everybody's there, ready to go. And then whap, first inning, and it just boom, life gets sucked right out of it. Then Aaron Judge strikes out in his first at bat. I mean,
that ball by 3 feet.
Yeah, I mean, that was a 3-2 pitch, too.
He missed that ball. I don't know, 3 feet. That's a little extreme, but maybe by 5 or 6 inches.
I mean, they have run into better teams every single time that they've been eliminated in the postseason in the Aaron Judge era from 2017 on. They've never had a series where they were the better team and lost, and we see that a lot. Like, for example, like the Phillies, I believe the Phillies were the better team for the entire year, but the Mets went in there and beat them. Like, they're thinking, like, crap, we should have won this series. Like, we were here, we were in the playoffs, everything else. They were the better team. The Mets were hot, more hot. They were able to win that series. What happens with the Yankees in the postseason is they run into these teams that are more complete whose stars perform. So the Yankees star, I mean, I shouldn't say that. Soto's been pretty good. Stan's been good. But Judge is a zero. And this Yankee team cannot beat a good team with Judge being a zero.
So think about this. For three games, think about starting pitching and defense first. Who has won that battle?
Starting pitching and defense is obviously the Dodgers.
All right. So that has nothing to do, really, with... I'm not even talking about offense because obviously we know what's going on with the Yankee offense. It's flat, it's dead. But they had a chance to win Game One, and one decision to bring Nestor Cortes in an impossible situation for him, to me, is the decision that is, you know, ultimately going to end up losing the Yankees this World Series. I'm sorry. It's what, you know, it's a momentum.
They weren't going to win this series anyway. They could have won that game and extended it.
That was a momentum shifter right there. And then Freddie Freeman has been a monster that I don't think anybody expected, especially coming off of the ankle. Remember, they were talking to him after they beat the Mets. Are you going to be playing in the World Series? Are you going to be playing? You have 4 days off. Are you going to be playing? Are you going to be playing? How's the ankle? Ankle okay? You going to be all right?
Well, he got healthy.
Like, I guess what? He's like, hey, I just had 4 days off.
Yeah, he got healthy.
Dumbasses, why are you asking me this question? Well, of course I'm playing.
Right. I mean, Freddie Freeman's numbers in the World Series are insane, so I don't know if we could say that nobody expected it, because if he did get healthy, this is what he does. I mean, he hits home runs in World Series games. It's insane. And he's going to be the World Series MVP. So, I mean,
it's starting game one, bad defense. Game two, bad defense. Obviously, lack of timely hitting, not manufacturing runs, bad starting pitching. Aaron Boone in game one taking Gerrit Cole out of the game and Gerrit Cole not fighting to stay in the game. Aaron Boone bringing out Nestor Cortes after he hasn't pitched in 6.5 weeks in an impossible situation. It's all right there. We all see it.
Right, I know, but all these things that you're talking about, the Yankees were a part of the Yankees season. You know, bad base running.
Nestor Cortes coming out of the bullpen.
Well, that wasn't, but suspect defense. But when you have an MVP in the middle of the lineup,
not doing his job,
no,
I know.
It masked all that in a regular season.
And by the way,
don't think about that stuff. You're winning games. But now, it's a big problem.
The bottom of the lineup's not doing anything either until the bottom of the ninth inning. And we got a bat flip down 4-2.
Well,
I mean, and I'll talk about, like, just not paying attention and not realizing the moment. The whole thing got off to a bad start last night. The whole thing. I mean, what was the opening? What the hell was that?
I was so confused watching this. So I ended up meeting some friends at the Great Portly Villager to watch both the games at the same time.
You're locked in. I love that.
So I walk in, and I had left the house like right around when that Fat Joe thing started. So I didn't see it on my TV, right? So I'm pulling up to the Portly Villager, and I walk in, and the door is open. So I could hear like the music coming out, and like, I'd never heard rap music playing out of the Portly Villager. Like, I just had never heard. So I'm like, is somebody blasting rap? Like, what's going on? The Yankees and the Giants around? Like, what is this? And I walked in and I looked up at the TV and I couldn't take my eyes off it because it was just so mesmerizingly horrible. And I don't dislike Fat Joe. I he's had a nice career as a New York guy, as a New York sports fan, and like, good for him. And I don't want, it was so long and so out of place. And I know that they're trying to recreate the Ice Cube thing, whatever. It didn't end. And he's stomping all over the mound. He throws the mic down and drops the mic on the field. I was like, what is this? I mean, and I was honestly in awe, like with my mouth open, like, what? Of all the crazy things that we had seen this year, from Grimace to Hawk-Tua to the Temptations to whatever, like, this went on for like 5 minutes.
It was unbelievable.
And it felt like 45 minutes.
I felt bad for him because
he should have never been in that spot.
I felt bad for him. And the reason I felt bad for him was because, you know, there are probably some people who appreciated it when they were there. But I got to think that you go there to see a baseball game, not a 5-minute concert before the game. I said the same thing about the Temptations. I don't know what these teams are doing. I mean, this is the World Series. This is your team. Your fans are there. They're revved up for the game. They don't need any artificial, like, motivation.
So I was at the game five.
I flipped it over to the Giant game right at that, like, it started, and I thought he was going to come out and say a few things, and then he just kept going and going and going. I just flipped it over to the Giant.
Did they show the Temptations on TV? Because I was at the game.
I don't remember.
Were you watching that? Did they not see that?
No, nor I.
All right. So that would be like the difference is like this.
I don't know what Major League Baseball was trying to accomplish, and I felt like that was just a bad spot. for Fat Joe, and the whole thing just kind of got flat. It's like, whoa.
Yeah, but it's another one of those things. Like it definitely is magnified after a performance like that, because if the Yankees won, you'd forgotten about it and be like, man, that Fat Joe thing really was kind of weird. But hey, who cares? It's 2-1. But like, it was the same thing that when the Hawk Tua threw out the first pitch, the Mets had a miserable loss that day. And everybody's like, oh, God, it's only the Mets could have this.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not blaming a loss on Fat Joe.
No.
Like, I don't know what.
I'm not either. What I'm saying is that it magnifies it when you lose the game. You know, so like you lost the game, you're down 3-0, and now it's just on top of everything else that sucks.
I don't know. I guess I have to explain this again. There are certain teams. The Rangers are one of those teams. The Yankees are one of those teams. And I guess I would even classify the Giants as the traditional, long-standing bearer of excellence within their sport teams. Like, you'd like to think that. It's hard to say that after a team loses or a team's going through what the Giants have gone through over the last 10 years. The Rangers still haven't won the Cup since 1994, but they've been around. Like, original teams, original six, original football team, original baseball team. Like, this is like, there's history here. You don't mess with history. You promote history. You know, that's what George Steinbrenner did. He locked into the history of the Yankees and created a 90s team that was one for the ages, for sure, and always was built on the history, on Monument Park, on Yankee Stadium. Like, the whole thing was all about yesteryear and living up to those great teams that the Yankees had. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's why, like, the Rangers are an original six team, and they promote that. They believe in the history and the tradition, and the fan base, including myself, wants to pass it down to their kids. And they want to raise their kids as Ranger fans, and the grandkids become Ranger fans. Not all the grandkids, but most of the grandkids, or half the grandkids, let's put it that way. But the point being is that, like, the Yankees don't need all that stuff. The Yankees are the Yankees. I mean, I can't say that. I can't say that any more in praise of what the history of the Yankees is and what it has been, and really what George Steinbrenner did to reinvigorate that feeling around that franchise.
Yeah, I mean, it just didn't end.
I don't understand.
I wanted to go back and see how many minutes that was, because I swear to God, I thought it was like it felt like it was 25 minutes of Fat Joe.
I wonder if FanDuel had an over under on that one.
Oh my God. Like, when he went into the second song, I was like, you're kidding, right? Like, you're not doing another song. You can't possibly be doing another song.
Yeah, I'm not blaming it on him. It was just a bad spot. You know, maybe a minute and a half or something. Maybe you come up with something. I don't know. I don't know what it was. I don't know what it was. And then on top of that, you got the Giants losing in Pittsburgh, and coach calling out the quarterback calling out the team. I mean, it was just an absolute disaster. And then the Knicks lose to the Cavaliers last night.
Oh. Yeah, it wasn't a good night. And Jerry's going to have all of that as he is back with us this morning.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Happy to have Jerry back this morning, and he's got lots of bad news for us. What's going on, Jerry?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. We're also brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of Morristown, and brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. And if you were a little late getting into your seat last night, yes, you missed that brutal Fat Joe, whatever that was last night. And then you also missed this.
Here is the 1-2 to Freddie. Swung on, hit in the air to deep right. It is high. It is far. It is gone. It's a 2-run home run for Freddie Freeman, his third home run of the series, and the Dodgers jump out to an immediate 2-0 lead.
And likely
that's disgraceful.
World Series MVP, you would think, though it's not over yet. John Sterling with the call here on the Fan. Mookie Betts and Kike Hernandez with RBI singles in the third and the sixth innings. As for the Yankee offense, there wasn't much. You did have Giancarlo Stanton single and double. He had two of their five hits. Another one here is where they almost scored.
2-2 on Volpe. Swung on and lined to left field, and there is a base hit. Stanton around third. He's coming home. The throw is in time. Good throw by Teoscar. And they did nab him as he came home.
It was a perfect throw.
All right, Jerry, you are a baseball savant.
Right.
You are. You're a coach. You love baseball. You've been all over baseball. And I love to get your opinion about this.
Okay.
You're down 3-0. And, of course, you have a man on second base that you've told this year not to run. They told him not to run. Said, just do your thing. Don't pull a hamstring. Don't pull a calf muscle.
Yeah.
Don't have a oblique.
Don't preface all this. Just ask the question. Would he send them or not?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. I respect your opinion.
Unless Juan Soto was up next or Giancarlo Stanton, which would have been hard to do since he was on base and he was the run on it. Yeah, I'm sending him because you needed a perfect throw in that spot even to get the slow lumbering Stanton.
So in three games, how many miscues have the Dodgers had defensively?
Not many. They've been great.
They're like the Royals of 2015.
But I don't think a throw 3 feet to the left, slightly offline, is a mistake. I think you are forcing him to make a perfect throw, and that's what he did. And he just beat it. So,
anybody else out there, maybe with the exception of Trevino, maybe Wells. I don't know how fast Wells is, but anybody else, I could see sending them. But I don't know. To me, it just seemed really... I don't know. It was a gamble, and it didn't pay off. Let's put it that way.
It did not pay off, that is for sure. They did get a home run by Alex Verdugo on the ninth, the two-run shot, but then that be that. Here was Freeman, all good on my end.
Been seeing the ball very well. Obviously, not missing any mistakes. Hopefully, we just can keep it going tomorrow. We got one more.
Series, five straight World Series games going back a few years. He has really been on target. Off target has been one Aaron Judge, who continues to just whiff and not look very good at the plate. Do you feel like you're letting your team down at this point?
Definitely. You know, you want to be getting the hits. You want to be doing, going out there and doing your job. But, I'm not doing my job right now. So, I got to pick it up.
And so they're down 3-0. Anthony Rizzo says and understands they got to be better.
We got to string together a couple hits, a couple big innings, and just apply a little bit of pressure.
Now, Clark Schmidt got the start. Not much length, as we like to say. Walker Buehler went five. I love it. I know Walker Buehler was fine. It was five innings. We're like, whoa, what a start by Walker Buehler. It was five innings. That said, Clark Schmidt doesn't even get out of the third. He says he was really fired up for this.
I mean, obviously coming out the gates a little hot against Ohtani, and then after that we felt like we settled down well. I mean, I felt like I was making really good pitches, and then just a two-strike mistake to Freeman there.
Yeah, but a big two-strike mistake that set the tone for the night, which felt off from that point forward. Then you've got the series. It's 3-0. We don't play Aaron Boone. There's only 2 seconds of him here in this clip.
Only one team has ever come back from a 3-0 deficit in World Series history. How do you like your chances heading into game four?
We're trying to get a game tomorrow. Okay?
Okay.
Well, I mean, that was... I would have been pissed off if I were Aaron Boone, the way that question was asked.
One pitch, one inning, Jerry.
You're going to lose this series eventually. You're dead. You're done. Your season's over. How do you feel?
Not great. Here's Dave Roberts on the other side of things.
You're one of the few people on earth who know what it's like to come back from a 3-0 deficit.
Don't talk about that. Wrong guy. Way too early.
And of course, referencing the Red Sox and the Yankees from 20 years ago. And so that's the situation we're in right now. Game four tonight, Luis Gil makes the start for the Yankees. Bullpen game for the Dodgers, who can wrap it up at Yankee Stadium. They played in the ninth inning last night. I don't know if you're still on it or not. They played the Marlins celebrating Yankee Stadium. It looks so weird.
Yeah, 2003.
Just like dead, and they're out there, and I don't know, it's just strange.
Josh Beckett.
Yeah.
Brad Petty.
Here's the thing. Like, you just got to say to yourself, don't let them celebrate on your field. You got two games. You take them one pitch, one inning, one at bat at a time, and you try to get out of this malaise and this funk, and you win one game.
Win a game.
And then you come back, you win the next one, and then you if they're gonna celebrate, let them do it at home. Don't let them do it on your field.
Oh, we will have all the action for you again on the fan
by
like
the
we
way,
did last night. Yes, by
we
the
were
way.
We're talking a lot about secondary ticket prices for these games. These have had to crater now.
Oh, I'm sure.
That's interesting.
And I think about people who bought the tickets early before the season started and paid an insane amount of money. I'm thinking about my buddy who sold a Game 5 tickets and was going to make a $20,000 profit if that game was played. He's probably
what happens
bricks.
In that situation? Does the ticket go back to the original ticket holder, or are you stuck with it as...
No. I mean, you just... No. Everybody gets their money back. Everybody. So,
but I thought the team usually holds the money till next season or for a future purchase. When you buy it on the secondary market, StubHub would have to, or Vivid or whoever would have to refund you your money then?
Mm-hmm.
Believe me, they're hoping for, everybody's hoping for a game five. Let's put it that way.
Of course. I mean,
and believe me, the Yankees want a game five because they want...
They don't want to be eliminated from the World Series.
You are correct.
I'm talking about the Yankee brass. They want two more home games.
Oh, hell yeah, they do.
So before the series began, we looked at these prices, and I think the cheapest get-in-the-door price for the Yankees after fees was $1,600.
Now what is it?
Before fees. I don't know with fees. $500.
There you go. It's cratering.
Not exactly cheap, but a third of what it was just a couple of days ago.
What they were, yeah, because everybody thought that the Yankees could win in five.
And that's tonight. That's the 29th. I imagine the ticket prices for the 30th, which we don't even know if they will play, would be even less than that. So,
Al, you said the Dodgers in five?
I did, yes.
Man, they're all over this.
Well, it could be a sweep situation.
Yeah, but you said in five. I mean, you know, the Yankees got to get one, don't they?
I would think so. I think accidentally.
No, they don't.
No, actually, I know, Eddie, you don't care. I know.
But like, there's no indication that they will get one. So, we'll see. That'll be tonight on The Fan. We had the Giants play last night. Didn't go so good for them.
Hawk gets this punt off. Austin fields it, retreating at his own 26. Veers to the far sideline. Turns the corner. He's up to midfield. He's to the Giant 40. Still running. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown! 74 yards, Calvin Austin.
And that snapped a field goal fest of a tie at
Bob
9.
Hopper.
The go-ahead touchdown. Austin later with a 29-yard touchdown catch in the fourth. Steelers beat the Giants 26-18.
Can somebody tell me how that punt...
Punt.
The punt return, how that was not a roughing the punter on the Steelers.
So there were a couple of these this weekend that I don't understand that weren't. Even a, do they do running in the kicker anymore, or is it still just roughing? I forget.
No, I think they still have both.
This is the plant leg that a Steeler rolled up into. I don't know what. I guess it's going to take somebody to blow out a knee. And normally I know punters sometimes like to, you know, put a little show on. They try to, you know, get the flag and all that. This was a legitimate hit, and I'm like, how do you not, after all the effing penalties that were thrown last night.
A ton again.
It's horrendous. And that, and I'm not, that one call on Malik Nabers.
I mean, not on the one that didn't get called?
No, the one that did get called. The one that called, when the touchdown was called back.
Oh, that one. I thought you were talking about when his hand was being held by the defender.
And that didn't get called. Yeah.
Right. I mean, that was insane.
That didn't get called. So you got roughing the punter here. They don't call that. I thought, anyway. And then they call this little ticky-tack. And I know that ESPN confirmed that that's the right call. I mean, like, you see that every weekend. There's, like, no consistency with any of this.
Bingo.
That's the biggest problem. That is so effing frustrating. I don't know. The Giants were competitive last night, but the second half was... Especially that two-point play was... Troy said it, I think, last night. Because that was embarrassing.
Yeah.
And it was embarrassing because I'm like, all right, everybody's looking at Daniel Jones. They should all know that this play is happening because I know what this looks like and I know how it's called in the huddle. And I know that they will go through, walk through, they go through practice. You line everybody up over to the left. And if the quarterback immediately sees that the Steelers are not adjusting to it, he's going to throw the ball out there.
Mm-hmm.
And not one guy.
They didn't move.
Not one guy had an understanding of what we're doing.
Didn't look like
it. And I understand why Daniel Jones was so angry. But then again, Daniel Jones makes a mistake on the strip sack of T.J. Watt.
He did.
They were supposed to have the tight end was supposed to move from the left side to the right side, and Daniel never moved him.
Correct.
And even Troy said, can we get a little help on T.J. Watt in this situation?
Yeah, because the Singletary kind of ran out like in a route, and he was wondering why he didn't help the chip.
And the one thing that was really evident, and maybe this was because it was Monday night, and you remember what happened last year on a Monday night when Brian Daboll basically said off camera to Joe Buck that he needs to get more energy out of Daniel Jones?
Yeah, yeah.
I noticed immediately that Brian Daboll was intense last night.
Oh my god!
And I know you know what?
Screaming at the refs over the illegal motion and stuff. I mean, he was covering his mouth this time when he was screaming at him.
But the point being is that I understand what he's doing. He's trying to bring the energy to a flatliner. He's trying to be everything to everybody in terms of bringing the heat, bringing the energy, getting in the face of the players. I actually admire that. I think he's just, it's a lost cause at this point.
And Deontay Banks, he did bench him after that whiff of a tackle.
Well, hell yeah.
He did that too.
That guy, I mean, you watch him on the field, you're like, oof.
Yeah. And Tyrone Tracy, by the way, went into concussion protocol despite his monster game. It happened late in the fourth quarter when he hit the back of his head on the turf. I'll get to this next hour. Let me just give you quickly last night at the Garden.
LeVert goes back door. Hart trying to stay with him. Still a slight lift. Garland hoist up the three and nails it. Darius Garland having a huge fourth quarter.
He had a huge night all around. Yeah, we here. Cavaliers win 110-104. They came back from 72-59 down in the third.
Did you guys by any chance see the pregame on MSG with this show?
Absolutely I did not.
No, I did. I was watching, you know, our buddy Wally Zerbe out there. And I don't know where. I think they had him on the ceiling. They were up.
Well, they do in the Chase. Don't they go to the Chase Bridge? They do
is that.
That's
where,
Bill Pito was too. Because I turned it on when they did the open with Pito.
But they got no room for those guys down on court.
I don't know. I think that's where they always do it. I thought
right. when they're at the Garden, yeah. That's where they are.
Just, I'm afraid that Wally's going to fall over or something.
110-104 the final. 34 for Garland, who was 12 of 19 shooting. Donovan Mitchell had 25. Here was. Well, I'll give you Tom Thibodeau, just not loving the way his team played.
You can't just stare at the ball. You have to stare at the whole court so you know. You got to read the man in front of you. What's he doing so we don't get guys drifting up on each other?
Yeah, apparently Cleveland just played much better defense. I was in and out on this game. Saw enough of it, but not all of it. Jared Allen at 15 and 15. Josh Hart left in the fourth quarter. There was some question if he would play or not because of the ankle. He did play, but then did leave late. Brunson went out and then back in. He had 21 points, but he was just 8 of 24 shooting. The Knicks are in Miami tomorrow night. Mavericks beat the Jazz 110-102. Notable because in the loss, Utah forward, a young kid too, drafted last year, first round, Taylor Hendricks suffered a broken leg and a dislocated ankle. And the video is just terrible.
Awful, yeah.
Nets play the Nuggets tonight on 94.7 The Block and streaming on 94.7 The Block on the free Odyssey app. And I'll leave you with this. You tell me what you think this is. Eddie, just listen, make sure I got all the beeps properly. I think I got them.
Oh my God, what is wrong with you?
Hey, call the cops.
Any idea what that might be? I'll go around the room. Al, any idea what that might be?
I'm going to say that's in the parking lot before the Steeler game.
That's a great guess. You are so... No. Eddie?
No guess.
None. Boomer. That, I get the sense you saw it.
No, I didn't see it. I would say, that has to be outside the Cowboy-San Francisco game.
That's a good guess.
Where the fans got heated.
Yeah, I didn't see it. Saw this?
I didn't. I know I didn't see it, Jerry, but I know that sound. I've heard that sound many times.
That's a punch right to the face.
No, it's a driver hitting someone in the head.
That is correct.
Yeah. Oh, is that what that is?
Happened in British Columbia.
Yeah.
And I guess a guy got confronted by not yelling four, hit up on them, and then a guy came over and basically just walloped him with the club, and he got arrested.
You know, he hit him with the golf club?
Yeah, right in the head.
So he almost hit him with the ball, and then now he hit him with the golf club.
Yeah, it was unclear to me which one was which, but yes. The one guy was ticked off. I don't know if it was the guy that got hit on or the guy that was being yelled at, but there was some alcohol involved and he's in jail.
Right. And that was the second incident that this guy had on a golf course in the last couple of months.
Anger management issues.
Yep.
Oof-ah. So there you go.
Hopefully he doesn't ride on the Southern State Parkway.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Rough day for Yankees and Giants fans. We've had a really great run of New York sports, but it is coming to a crashing halt in the last couple of days with some of these really bad losses. Not that we necessarily expected the Giants to go in and beat the Steelers. I did pick them to cover, and I really thought that they were going to early on in this game when they were hanging tough, but of course they end up losing by 8, and the Yankees are on the verge of being swept in the World Series. Let's go to Joe in Bethpage. What's going on, Joe?
Hey, good morning, guys. Another rough night for the boys in the pinstripes. Just want to bring up one thing. You know, the series before when Judge got plucked in the ribs, I know he had a couple of days to rest about it, but every time he gets up now, I watch him and he's in there after he swings, he's wincing and stuff. That's not an excuse for him not hitting, but that could be a little bit of a play to it. And hopefully they win the game tonight and maybe tomorrow, like you said, Boomer, not celebrate on the Yankees.
Yeah,
Yankees
you can't
field.
Let them celebrate on your home field. But I'll say this, Joe, maybe there is something to that. I mean, Otani hasn't been great either, but the rest of the Dodger lineup has been great. And I have to say, while we all want to focus on Judge, I mean, everybody's got to contribute somewhere along the lines. And it's just so inconsistent right now because they're playing a great team. I mean, and they're getting schooled on defense as well. I mean, that's a big part of this. And like I said earlier this morning, and this is not in any way, shape, or form an insult to this Yankee team. I mean, they're playing against the 2015 Royals like we did the Mets. It's like they do everything right. They're well constructed. And by the way, they don't even have some of their best pitchers, you know, in their lineup because they're out.
Tyler Glass now and Shohei Ohtani.
Yep. And Clayton Kershaw, I know he's not what he used to be, but, you know, he's supposed to be on this team too.
Yeah, so I thought that he was asked about the rib thing, and I was right. So, of course, he's not going to say, yeah, you know, my ribs are killing me. But people have asked him, and he said, not at all, doesn't bother me. Aaron Boone was asked about it. He was like, no, doesn't not bothering him. So
listen, if it's not bothering him, then 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now, 4 weeks from now, don't come back and say that it is. That's the point. I mean, we all know that Shohei Ohtani's left shoulder is not, you know, the thing about him, when he bats, see how high he holds mm-hmm. his left
yeah.
elbow?
Yeah.
I mean, he stands there with that face. And it's like he's got the big round face. And he's standing there like this. And he's looking at you like this. I mean, I've never seen anything like it.
What do you mean by that face?
Well, he's got a big round face. And he's standing there like this. And he's looking at the pitcher. And I got to tell you, it's got to be a little bit intimidating if you're pitching to him.
No, I don't think he. Yeah, I. Intimidating because you know what he can do, but I mean,
he holds that bat up here. That's got to be killing his shoulder.
He's got very soft features, though, in that face. He's cute, you know.
But that shoulder, I'm talking about the shoulder, and he's looking right at that pitch. Oh man, I'll tell you, I don't know.
How would you describe his? I mean, I think he's cute.
All right. Yes, he does have soft features. Yes,
he doesn't have he doesn't have the beard going like.
Like Aaron Judge has got that chin.
Yeah, yeah, you know?
Giancarlo Stanton's got that body.
Mm-hmm. Like Shohei Ohtani, like if you didn't know how great he was,
yeah,
you'd be like, oh, this. What do I
but
worry
when you
about
see him in
for?
Person, you're amazed at how big he is.
He's huge, yeah. Let's go to Anthony in West Haven. What's going on, Anthony?
Hey, I called Friday about the guy that was gonna my friend was selling his tickets.
Yeah,
for the roof.
Yeah, for the roof.
He sold them.
Wow. Good for you. What game was it for?
It was for last night and tonight.
Oh, all right, good. So he actually got the money then.
Yeah, he got his money already, and he's really happy. And his son got to go to the game last night with a friend, family friends of his.
Yep.
And so, so funny because out of all the people that were at the game last night, the one person that he was most excited to see that they got to see was. Of all people, Hillary Clinton was at the game last night with the Secret Service agents. And he said, I got to meet a Secret Service agent. Out of all the people that were there.
Listen, man, all's well that ends well with your buddy. He didn't see a terrible loss last night. He's not going to go to a game that's a possible elimination game for his Yankees. And his kid
got to go to a game.
And his son got to go to a game and he made some money.
And he got a new roof.
The roof.
I'm glad he got a new roof.
That the roof is on fire.
Yes.
All right. It is Boomer and Geo.
Before we go, I'll wait to the other side.
Okay.
It has something to do with the Jets. I just have to ask you a question to see if you see it the way I see it.
Okay. So we'll do some Jets and Giants coming up next. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.